You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two, Rodo Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Woo! We are here, baby! The NFL kicks off tonight! Get up, get ready, get pumped! I know I am. Hey, guys, tonight, the question becomes what you do with certain players, right? And one of the things that I am most looking forward to is seeing how the Patriots running game and the running back situation plays itself out.
Very important.
Because this is something that, with many people having players on the Bucs and having players on the Dolphins, we're looking out for, right? Like, somewhere you may have to turn, even though you don't want to, unfortunately. And in a league, Scotty, I own James White. And I own Joe Mixon. Should I be starting James White over Joe Mixon?
I don't think so, because you can't trust any of these New England running backs. But then you have to look at the type of team that they're playing. What Kansas City's hoping to do tonight, you know, I was scouring the Kansas City hometown papers and looking, you know, what they expect strategically and schematically. What the Kansas City is hoping to do is getting a better pass rush with their front four, and because they're so concerned about Brady in the passing game, they're probably going to play a lot of nickel and dime, which means that I probably like Mike Gillisley, because if the Patriots know that, if they know they're going to try to rush their front four and have a dime defense, it's not going to be about using a pass-catching running back necessarily. I could be wrong on this, but I think it would favor Mike Gillisley running the ball up the gut, because, you know, if you're playing against a nickel and dime defense, you know, there's something there in the middle of the field.
Okay, so you prefer Mike Gillisley tonight. Corey, would you start James White over Joe Mixon?
I would start Joe Mixon. I think the situation in New England, I want to see it first. I want to get more of an idea of what they're going to try to do, what those snaps look like as far as that go. I think, you know, Joe Mixon more than likely being a timeshare this week with Jeremy Hill, but Joe Mixon is the type of player that they're going to get the football in his hands, and he doesn't really, Joe Mixon type of cat that don't take much for him to hit pay dirt.
Hopefully not. Would you start Theo Riddick over James White? Would you start?
I would start Theo Riddick over James White.
I would
White.
Start Theo Riddick because
you know Theo Riddick's going to
be
involved,
like Corey says. Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic. Yeah. Makes you feel good. Another question: would you rather start Pierre Garçon or Larry Fitzgerald this week, Scott Angle?
I like both of them, but you know Fitzgerald is, you know what the relationship is with his quarterback. It's splitting hairs. I like Garçon too, but yeah, you know, I have to go with Fitzgerald. The guy caught 100 balls last year.
Corey Parson.
Still got to go Fitz.
Okay.
I don't like that. You feel what I'm saying?
I don't like that you're doing that.
No, because I think the other player is good, too.
They're both good.
I think Garçon has more upside.
Yeah, Garçon. Yeah, Garçon. Tripping.
You know, where Corey might be going is, and I'm probably thinking the same way, is Garçon has more upside, but you know what you get from Fitz.
That's good. It's
yeah.
True, too. He's thinking about it. He's in here thinking about it. All right, we'll come back. More of your calls, 844-843-6879. And also, we preview KC and New England. We're all watching for tonight. It's our Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
City Chiefs travel to Foxborough tonight. Face off against the New England Patriots. And we're going to be watching, but what are we going to be watching for? That's what we're going to get into this hour. Before we do, I want to talk to you because you're the most important thing, right, Corey? Like, answering our fans and our listeners' questions, that's That's how we make bread.
Yeah, that's how we get. Yeah, it's what it is. As crazy as it sounds, yeah.
So 844-843-6879, 844-843-6879, the number to join in, and we go to Sal in Queens. What's up, Sal?
Hey, guys.
Sal, what's
live
up?
From Sean Engel College.
Nice.
All right.
Queens College.
How are you, Sal?
What's going on, guys? Good. Ready for another season? I came up with four quick questions looking at all my leagues, 12-teamers, 1 point PPR, two specific questions about this weekend, and two outlook ones for you. So real quick on the rapid fire ones, Cam or Roethlisberger for QB this week?
I'm going to go with Big Ben.
Me too.
Same.
Big Ben. Okay. And then at a flex, because of all the buys now, we got Fat Kelly versus Diggs.
Oh, easily Stephon Diggs, even in the PPR.
Certainly.
I mean, even in a non-PPR.
Standard, even in a standard, yeah. I'll go with Diggs as well against New Orleans.
Yeah.
Okay. Then on the two outlook ones, the quick one for the last man on the, you know, dollar make you holla, Cooper Kupp or Kendall Wright or Scott Engel's Paul Richardson.
So this is actually really,
actually it's Scott Engel's Cooper Kupp.
So I think it's actually a really good point. Something I think a lot of people are wrestling with, Corey, when it comes to replacing Devontae Parker, Mike Evans, so on and so forth. Right? I've heard names like Cooper Kupp. I've heard names like Kendall Wright, and I've heard names like Paul Richardson. These are three very popular names in trying to replace some of the wide receivers that are out this week because of the bye week.
Well, he's asking for the long term, though.
Well, I understand. I'm changing the question.
Right. For me, it's Kupp this week and the long term.
Well, I knew that.
Yeah.
So it didn't matter what the question was. Corey, if you had to put one of these guys in your lineup this week, Kupp, Richardson, or Kendall Wright. I know we talked a lot about Kendall Wright over the last few days.
I like Kendall Wright a lot. I think that obviously they're going to be playing from behind going up against Atlanta. It's a close call right there. I would give Kupp the small nod over Kendall Wright. It's very small, but I think that's a toss-up right there.
I think so, too. I think Paul Richardson is a distant third. I think the other two are very, very close between Kupp and Kendall Wright.
Fool with Paul Richardson.
Would you rather start Kendall Wright or James White?
Kendall Wright.
I go with James White. That whole Chicago offense is going to be a complete mishmash, and you don't know who's going to emerge.
Would you rather start Kendall Wright or Theo Riddick?
Theo Riddick, for sure. I know what his involvement is.
Theoretically.
All right, I just wanted to make sure you paused there. Okay, tonight, we had New England and Kansas City. They kick off, obviously, Foxborough, Massachusetts. And the defending champions, the New England Patriots, are going to get ready to rock. Tonight, as I mentioned, in Kansas City, we're looking forward to the running backs, right? We want to see how this whole thing shakes out. But there's even more. We mentioned Danny Amendola a few moments ago. What will Danny Amendola's role be with Julian Edelman out for the year? Remember, a couple of years ago, Amendola was signed to replace Wes Welker in the slot, and it ultimately became Julian Edelman's job. Amendola is going to get the first crack at this thing, I believe, in getting his job back. But then also, you have to deal with Chris Hogan. Chris Hogan, Scott, what do we expect from him tonight?
You know, this is a good Kansas City secondary. I don't know how much they're going to let over the top. I think they have to tack him underneath because they're going to be playing like a lot of a nickel and dime. Like I said, Hogan could be like a 3-catch, 70-yard kind of guy tonight. I don't think I'm expecting a huge amount of upside. I think Amendola might actually be more nifty in the slot and catching stuff underneath. I think that's more of his style of game.
Corey, are you going to get your heart broken by Chris Hogan tonight?
That'd be crazy if that happened that way because, you know, I railed against the dude. So, you know, I railed against people drafting him too high. Looking forward to see what it's going to be. I think it'll be a mixture of both players, Amendola and Hogan, with Hogan getting the heavier side of it. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, but I can tell you who is going to get this. Brandon Cook's going to get his.
Brandon Cooks is going to get his because tonight it's the debut of Brandon Cooks for New England. I wouldn't be surprised if they pepper Brandon Cooks at target tonight.
That's going to be a matchup to watch, though. Mark, if they go man-to-man, it's Marcus Peters against Brandon Cooks. This is going to be, he's going to have to work hard if he's going to get it. It ain't going to be easy for Cooks. I'm not saying he's not going to do it, but, you know, that's a tough matchup. You're talking maybe the best cornerback in the entire AFC.
We're going to find out tonight. I think Brandon Cook, I think they're going to move Brandon Cooks all over the field and try to keep him away from Marcus Peters as much as possible. We'll see if Peters sticks with him or plays left and right. We'll find out there. But can they cover Gronk? Like, look at all the weapons we're naming that are healthy and ready to rock. This is a team that lost Julian Edelman, right? We have Chris Hogan. We're excited to see him. We have Danny Amendola. We want to see what his role is. We mentioned Brandon Cooks, and we haven't even gotten to Gronk yet, Scott. Rob Gronkowski, the healthy big tight end from New England, who's ready, raring to go.
Yeah, he is. And just, you know, as good as Kansas City's secondary can be at safety, and with Peters, that second corner spot is a weakness. And in addition to that, the Patriots just have too many weapons even for this secondary, I believe. And, you know, that's going to be the real X factor there. You're like, how do they deal with Gronk? Because, you know, they're going to play a dime defense, and I don't know if their linebackers can stay with them.
Yeah, I don't expect them to, Scott. That's why I really like the Patriots, obviously, tonight. Let's go to the other side, Corey.
Yep.
Let's go to the Kansas City Chiefs here for a moment, because I said yesterday, I'm very excited to see Tyreek Hill back on the field, and nice. Scott shook his head at me a lot, saying, listen, New England's going to stop this dude. He's miscast, yada, yada, yada. I think Tyreek Hill is going to make a play tonight of some sort.
Yeah, I think Tyreek Hill will make a play. I think he'll be a factor in the game. They're definitely going to want to take him out of the game and neutralize him, but that shows you the kind of respect they have for his talent right there. So that, you know, you could throw all that he's not that good stuff like out the window. Because
who said he wasn't that good?
I'm just saying there's people that think that. And actually,
really? Yeah. Who doesn't think he's that good?
Well, there's people that think, oh, he's just like a one-trick pony. You know what I mean?
Really?
He's more than a one-trick pony. Yeah. Obviously, if New England is going to focus their game plan on taking him away, because he can beat you. So I think he makes a couple big plays. You know what I'm saying? I think we see him getting rolling tonight. But this is New England's game. You know what I mean? So, he's definitely obviously a startable play tonight.
You know, I said what I said yesterday, but... You know, then read some of these Kansas City scouting reports, I started to think differently here, because what the Patriots may try to do is, you know, they want to stop that. Alex Smith's the Kansas City, the strength of their game is what Andy Reid does, especially with this personnel, is running the ball and short passes. Alex Smith has to loosen up this defense with deep shots. So he's got to take a crack or two to Hill downfield. And what really depends on is, to me, it's boom or bust tonight. I'm not as down on Hill as I was yesterday, but it's boom or it's bust. Because if he gets enough safety help over the top, you know, and they know that's coming, he's going to get double teamed. So I really think it's a real crapshoot tonight with Hill.
Yeah, I think so,
they're
going
to take their shots. Can they convert? Yeah. That's something that you can't predict.
But it's not just going to be shots, Scott, I think, down the field. I mean, Tyreek Hill's going to get carries tonight out of the backfield. He's going to get these short screen passes to see what he can do. It's not just going to be deep shots to Tyreek Hill. They're going to get him the ball all over the field to see what he can do.
Yeah, I feel like the New England defense is going to be so well prepared for it, though. I feel like if he's going to do something, it's where Corey says that he's going to get a chance to make some plays downfield. I think... You know, I think if Tyreek Hill has a good game, it's going to be like three catches for like 88 yards and a touchdown or something like that. I just don't see him doing a lot of on stuff in screens and reverses. I think New England's defense is even better than it was last year, and they'll snuff that out.
I'm not disagreeing that it's better than it was last year, but the way that the Chiefs are going to have to win, I believe, is getting the ball to Tyreek Hill. And I think ultimately, like, he's not just a deep threat receiver. Like, he's a gadget player. He is Percy Harvin, and the way to do that is just get the ball in his hands, and you're going to see that. Like, the Patriots can't stop Tyreek Hill if they hand the ball to him, right? Like, they can't stop him from getting the ball that way. Could they tackle him behind the line of scrimmage? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I don't think this is like the 85 Bears or the 2014 Seahawks or whatever, right? Like,
no, I'm saying is there's not a lot of compliments out there other than Kelsey in the passing game, so they can focus a lot of attention on him and not worry about the secondary options. Not like Chris Conley's going to step up and make big plays.
The Chiefs obviously are not an offensive juggernaut by any means, but Travis Kelsey is there. And Travis Kelsey, who some consider the number one overall tight end in fantasy this year, not Rob Gronkowski, which is super interesting. And having them go head-to-head tonight is another thing I'm excited about. Like, will Travis Kelsey like score a touchdown and then throw a flag? Like, that'd be awesome to see.
That would be cool to see him do that.
So we'll see all that is on the table tonight, Corey. Also the first time in a very long time players can celebrate.
Yeah, no, that's going to be fun too, but there's nobody that's like creative on the Patriots like that, so they're boring.
But the Chiefs are like...
The Chiefs got some fun guys, so yeah, maybe they'll have a good time with it.
And we just spent, you know, 10 minutes or so previewing Chiefs and Patriots without even mentioning the debut of Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, exactly.
Kareem Hunt,
it.
Excited tonight. Scott, we said this there's no any weapon. There's no weapons the Chiefs for the Patriots to have to stop. Kareem Hunt may be that weapon.
I was talking about in the passing game.
Well, there's also the running game they're going to have to worry about. You can use the running game instead of the passing game.
I just feel the way the Patriots match up against them is not good for Kansas City. Unless Kansas City goes out of their comfort zone like they're doing in the preseason, throwing downfield. I think Hunt's going to have to work very hard for his yardage, but he'll have a respectable game tonight.
All right, we'll talk more about this game in a little bit. We'll make a prediction coming up next hour. But when we come back, let's dive back into Scott Angle's ranks here. Available now at RotoExperts.com and see what Corey and I can pick apart. RotoExperts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
I have the Kings wide receiver rankings, which are only available to you inside the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package, which you still have time to go out and buy because it's not just your draft package. It's a full season package. Use the promo code SUSMANIA when you check out. Make a little cash. I make a little cash. We all make some money.
And for those of you who have already drafted, you go to Roto Expert's homepage and check out my article on the Dolphins Buccaneers cancellation guide. And what replacements you can put in. And for those you drafted already, you can get the in-season price right now, which is 50% off the draft kit price, and get access to everything you need. Special deal.
There you go. It's a very, very special deal.
Yes.
I had your wide receiver ranks here. We went over quarterbacks and running backs yesterday. Yes. I wanted to go over the wide receivers today, especially given some of what we are incurring with the bye weeks and whatnot and some of the injuries and interesting so on and so forth. Okay, here we go. Where is this guy? Let's start. Wow. So did you know that due to Odell Beckham's questionable status, the King has ranked Odell Beckham as his 26th ranked wide receiver?
Because he's questionable?
Yeah, you have to bump him down the board if you're not sure if he's going to play. Obviously, I know he's going to play on game day. My ranks are updated throughout game day. He goes up, but you know, right now, I can't recommend him with confidence.
Jake Seeley has him third.
Yeah, Jake's expecting him to play, and if he plays and he gets on the field, he probably finishes inside that top 10. It could be a more slowed down game, more approach to that, more that kind of approach. You worry about them using Odell as a decoy because he's like the only player on the Giants that can beat you, but top 10 upside, obviously, if he's on the field.
Yeah,
he can take one to the crib like he did last year.
If he doesn't play, do you get penal? Shouldn't you have him third or something like that? Because if he doesn't play,
Now I don't know if he's going to play.
Right.
If I hear tomorrow Odell Beckham Jr. is practicing, he's going to play, he leaps up the rankings.
No, I understand that. But if he's not going to play, he wouldn't be ranked 26 and you're ranked zero because he's not playing. So what's the point of having
him be X'd out?
Sure, agreed.
Because he's 50-50 right now.
So what's the point of having him at 26, though? What does that accomplish, right? Like, I'm looking at this.
I can't leave him out of the ranks, and I can't put him third.
Why?
Because I don't know if he's playing.
So why would you have him 26th?
Because I don't. Right now, if I had to enter a lineup today,
right,
there are probably 25 guys that I feel more comfortable about using when that guy is 50-50.
Really?
Yeah.
Hold on. So because you're not sure that Odell is going to play, you're gonna start Emmanuel Sanders. You know, Emmanuel Sanders plays the next day. So
if I had to set my lineup today, like say, the way I do it is, if I have to lock my lineup in right now,
right,
you know, this is what I would do.
Right. You're going to lock your lineup in right this second.
Right this second. This is what I would do.
But that's not how it works, though. Obviously.
That's the only way I can do it. I can't X him out because he's 50-50.
Correct.
But I can't rank him high because I don't know, A, if he's going to play, and B, you know, what his health is going
to
be like.
But I think you have to rank him. If he's going to play, he's going to play.
Don't know if he's going to play.
Totally agree with you. But if he doesn't play, I'll look at the rankings and be like, okay, Odell's not playing, so I'll just skip him, right? I'm not going to be like,
I'll X him out if that happens.
But I just don't feel like this is confusing to me, Corey.
I don't know.
I just explained it, though. Sorry, Corey, but I just explained it. If I had to set my lineup right this second, there are 25 guys that I would put in over Odell Beckham Jr.
I don't think that's fair to say that because there's not 25 wide receivers in the NFL on any Odell as a decoy on the football field is still top 10, top 15 type guy. Even if he goes out there as a decoy, because he can score. Odell can catch a slant and go 75 yards to the crib and then step up the field and not play the rest of the game.
But that's fair, Corey, and I agree with you. But right now, we don't even know if he's going to play at all.
But if he's not going to play at all, he's going to be number zero in your
exactly.
I'm going to X him out. But right now, if I had to set my lineup right this second, I don't know if he's going to play or not. So it's a big gamble. So I have to, you know, be somewhere in the middle on that. And there are 25 guys that I'd be more comfortable putting in if I had to set my lineup right now at 7:30 in the morning.
But you don't. And you never will have to do that, ever. Right.
These are not final.
But if I'm looking at... So what is the point of doing them then, right now?
People got lined up to set the night, Scott.
If they're not final, what is the point of doing this?
What do you mean if they're not
final? If you're going to change them every day...
As it says on the file, it says I update them as news breaks. So right now, I don't know if anybody's in a position where they're going to go Tyreek Hill or Odell Beckham.
Wait, let me ask you this question, Scott. Is everybody that's not practicing ranked lower than people that are practicing?
What I'm saying is, yes, you usually... No, it depends on the situation.
Yes or no?
I don't know if I fully understand the question.
Everybody that's not... Because the only thing that we know about Odell is that he's not practicing. Is everybody that not...
We don't know
not,
if he's going to play.
Correct.
He's not... How do we know that? Because he's not practicing. But everybody in the NFL, wide receiver, running back, the Joe ranking that's not practicing should be ranked lower. Because right now, Odell has not been deemed out. He's not practicing.
Mm-hmm. How many guys are not practicing, though? Who else is not practicing? Amari Cooper's not practicing.
He's limited in practice.
He's been limited. Mm-hmm. So I'm not bumping Cooper down. If other guys were not practicing and their status is clouded, yes, I always bump them down.
I just feel like if I'm the average player, that bought the Roto Experts exclusive edge package, right? I'm going to know that if Odell plays, he shouldn't be a top five wide receiver this week. Obviously, because he's not playing. But if he is playing, I look at this this is just me. I can't speak for anybody else but me. Right. I'm looking at this. I'm like, okay, I'm going down the list. I'm like, man, Scott must really hate Odell this week because he has him 26th. Man, he must think if he plays, he's not going to be very good.
No.
I'm
giving you the color behind it. I don't know if he's going to play or if he's not going to play and what kind of condition he is. It's too early in the week for me to know. People will ask me the same question on Twitter. You know what? You're right, Greg. People ask me, what? You must hate Odell.
Right.
Because he's down to 26.
Right.
I get that sometimes when I do these rankings.
Right.
You know what I say? I say the same thing I'm saying to you. No, I don't hate him. I don't know what his health status is right now. So you're going to have to wait and see and come back and ask me again on Friday where I'm going to rank him or even Sunday morning. It will change based on, you know, what his availability, what I know it is to be.
He's probably not going to practice all week, Scott. He's going to go into Sunday night as a game time decision.
Correct.
Right. So you know what?
Yes.
It still answers the question then because you won't know until Sunday.
Right.
And I can't confidently tell you to start him over Emmanuel Sanders if I don't know if he's going to play.
Emmanuel Sanders plays Monday night, so it doesn't
because well, you have to still make the decision Sunday morning, though.
No, absolutely not.
What do you mean?
Why would I make the decision Sunday
morning? Sunday night. You still have to make the decision Sunday. So I can't confidently, if Odell's a game time decision, right?
Yep.
And it's 5 o'clock on Sunday.
Yep.
And we still don't know because he hasn't done pregame warmups.
Right.
I cannot confidently tell you to use Odell Beckham Jr. over Emmanuel Sanders because I still don't know if he's going to play.
But you can confidently tell me to use Odell Beckham over T.Y. Hilton, who is going to play.
T.Y. Hilton's got Scott Tolzien as his
quarterback. Odell Beckham may not play, you just said. So why would I choose a guy that's not in play over a guy that's going to play? Calvin Benjamin has an unbelievable wide receiver matchup this week in San Francisco. You're telling me to use Odell Beckham over him?
What I'm saying is, like, when I look at the guys who are below him,
yes,
if Odell is limited, etc., I would definitely play him over those guys. You know what I'm saying? If Odell's like a decoy, I'd still take the shot over those guys.
Okay, got it. So there's
a lot of variables to explain it, which I'm glad we're having this conversation.
Yeah.
It's not just as simple as like, okay, you're low on him, because right. I'm not. Because if he practices tomorrow, boom, he's back in my top 10.
Of course.
Yeah.
And it's obviously just like that. All right, let's continue going over Scott's rankings. Let's kind of move on from Odell. Scotty, you seem to be particularly high on Davante Adams this week. You have him ranked as a wide receiver one inside your top 12, despite facing the Seattle secondary. That is 14 spots higher than the rest of the experts over at Fantasy Pros that have entered in lineup ranks at this point. You have Davante Adams listed as a wide receiver one this week over players like Larry Fitzgerald, who has a much better matchup against Detroit, over players like Martavis Bryant, who has a better matchup against Cleveland. What made you put Davante Adams as a top 12 wide receiver despite the bad matchup against Seattle?
When you look at the paper, you say bad matchup. Mm-hmm. But every defense, even the best ones in the NFL, have some spots that are weaker than others. Richard Sherman cuts off half the field. People don't want to throw in his direction because he can always intercept you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Rodgers has seen that before.
Yeah.
But the way to attack the Seattle defense is at the other quarterback slot, where they really like rookie Shaq Griffin, but he's still a rookie. And then on the other side, on the outside, and in the inside, you got Jeremy Lane. They're going to, what I think they're going to use Davante Adams to attack in the slot and on the other part of the outside. Now, there's a possibility Sherman could play shadow coverage on Jordy. We've occasionally seen that. That could happen. But I think, you know, they'll move Davante Adams around so where he can get those matchups against Lane and Griffin, and especially if he's against Griffin on the other side. I like Davante Adams this week.
Well,
I love that.
The Griffin part really makes a lot more sense to me, because Randall Cobb is going to be in their slot more often than not for Green Bay against Jeremy Lane. But if I'm the Packers, and I know this doesn't necessarily make sense, but if I'm the Packers, I want Jordy Nelson to be as free as possible, right? Like, and if Richard Sherman's only going to play the right side of the field, I'm going to just line Davante Adams.
But there's another factor to that. Jordy is going to see a lot of Earl Thomas.
Sure.
And bracket coverage over the top.
He's back. So General's back.
The bracket coverage over the top. So, you know, if that happens, then you got Adams open on the other side, too.
I get you thinking Davante Adams is going to have a good game, but that's just a good game. I mean, you believe he's going to be a wide receiver one this week.
I do.
Okay.
I hope it happens. I got him starting on a lot of leagues, so I would definitely like to see him as a wide receiver one. No doubt about that.
Same.
I hope you're right on this one, Scott.
I am desperately hoping that you are right on this one. You have stuck with your preseason trend. You have Demaryius Thomas listed 8 spots lower than the consensus rankings here. Fantasy Pros, those that have had your rankings. You have him ranked as your 21st wide receiver. Most people have him as a number 12, 13. They have him borderline wide receiver 1. You have him as a solid or wide receiver 2.
Yeah, I do. But you know what? That Chargers secondary is good. You know,
Demaryius Thomas is good,
It is good. He's good, but that Chargers secondary is good. I think people underrate it.
We'll continue discussing Scotty's wide receiver ranks, including where he ranked his boy Cooper Kupp. And I'd say you won't believe it, but I think you will. It's Real Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
So, Corey, Scotty ranks every wide receiver, right? Every playable wide receiver he ranks, right?
Yep.
Okay. So, where do you think he has Cooper Kupp ranked?
Cooper Kupp, this week, Scott got him as wide receiver 31?
No, 34.
Wide receiver 34.
Right there, wide receiver 34.
And that wide receiver 3 conversation.
That is 20 spots higher than the consensus.
I like him. I like him more in that wide receiver 4/flex area. In the ideal situation, maybe you don't want to get him on the field right here in week 1. So, Scott got him as a wide receiver 3. So, you how many lineups you going to have him in this week?
Probably 2. Yeah. I would say, but, you know, if...
Have you set these lineups with him in them?
No, not yet. Probably to start setting my lineups when I get home this morning.
Sure. Understandably so. By the way, your boy Jake Seeley has Cooper Kupp ranked 52.
Yeah, that seems
it's a big difference. Yeah. It's a big range, Scotty. I love it.
I think it starts this week.
I know you do. You go balls to the wall here with Cooper Kupp. You also have Danny Amendola ranked 22 spots higher than consensus. You have Danny Amendola on borderline wide receiver 3 potentially tonight. You have him at 38 overall. Of course, 36 is the cutoff for the wide receiver 3. The consensus has him at number 60. You talked before that you're interested in Danny Amendola, and you said you would start him over Corey Davis. You think he's going to step up tonight?
I think he has the opportunity. I think there's trust factor there. Him and Brady have connected during some big playoff moments, too. And I think, you know, especially if they play like nickel dime sort of coverage, he can sneak underneath and do some work.
Let me give you some other quick hitters. He does, Scotty, have Roger Lewis inside his top 70 or 69, to be fair. And it's not like he's bringing Roger Lewis all the way up the board, as kind of assumed a little bit earlier. Let me give you some other wild differences that Scott has with the rest of the experts who submit their rankings to Fantasy Pros. He's got Eric Decker significantly lower than most experts. Everybody has Eric Decker, Scott, as a wide receiver 3, on average around number 33 overall. You've been 48, so you barely believe he's a wide receiver 4. Why are you hating on Eric Decker?
I'm just not ready. I feel like they got Rashard Matthews, they got Delanie Walker. This guy's coming off of significant physical issues. He's okay from all reports, but he's got to get into the flow of a new offense. I want to play wait and see with Eric Decker.
So we're playing wait and see with Eric Decker. Here are some names you have above Eric Decker, sir. You have Taylor Gabriel above Eric Decker. You have Cole Beasley ahead of Eric Decker. You have Robbie Anderson above Eric Decker.
Yep, I believe Gabriel's got a really good matchup against the Bears.
There's so many other options in that offense.
Decker has a lot of a really good matchup against,
yeah, against the Raiders. Yeah, there's so many options in that offense. Julio Jones, Devonta Freeman, Tevin Coleman. Look at all those guys that's way above the depth chart on Taylor Gabriel. Eric Decker's going to be out there playing against the Oakland Raiders.
I don't know what I can expect from Decker yet. I feel like
you don't know,
like
everybody.
You know what you
I
feel like
everybody.
Can,
I feel like everybody can hit a big play against the Bears this week.
Listen, I mean, the Gabriel. It's one spot between Eric Decker and Dale Gabriel. To be fair,
he shouldn't be in the conversation.
Should Cole Beasley or Robbie Anderson
in the same conversation as Eric Decker?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
He has both of them ranked ahead.
Maybe Robbie Anderson. Because, like, we don't know who's going to catch the football out there.
Beasley's going to get his.
Would you rather start?
Why is Beasley going to get his with Dez Bryant and Ezekiel Elliott on the field?
He always gets his. No, he doesn't, Scott.
When Dez Bryant and Ezekiel Elliott are on the field, Cole Beasley is irrelevant. Cole Beasley is only allowed to be played when Dez Bryant takes his 2 or 3 games off with his foot injury.
You're telling me he can't get 5 catches for 50 yards?
Hell no! Why would you throw the football to Cole Beasley 5 times? Here's the problem, okay?
Zeke is going to get his, but what happened last time that Dez Bryant faced Janoris Jenkins? They're going to have to throw to Kupp to keep the defense honest.
Beasley is two different guys.
The last time Dez Bryant faced Janoris Jenkins, Cole Beasley had 4 catches for 41 yards.
Right. I don't see it.
I could see 5 for 50 and 10 points.
There's the 8 points you just had.
I don't see it. It's Dez Bryant. It's Dez Bryant. It's Ezekiel Elliott. It's Jason Witten. The Dallas Cowboy offense only features 3 players for fantasy. 4 players for fantasy. Everybody else is irrelevant.
I think somebody's got to step up against the Giants defense. They have to make a secondary player step up.
I just got a question. We'll continue your ranking in a moment. I just got a question texted to me by my dad, actually.
Yeah.
He wants to know Carson Palmer or Sam Bradford this week.
Tell him to play Sam Bradford this week.
Really?
Shootout condition. Well, no, you know what? Play Carson Palmer at home.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's just really
I hate it. You know what I'm saying? He's probably a Jameis Winston guy, right?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm saying Carson Palmer, by the way.
I'm going Carson Palmer, too.
I'm saying Carson Palmer.
Yeah, Scott? Me too.
All right, we're all Carson Palmer dads, so there you go. Let me continue here. Would you start Eric Decker, Corey, or Randall Cobb this week?
That's a good one right there. I think I would go Randall Cobb. I'm going to go with the guy. They both have good matchups, Eric Decker or Randall Cobb. I like Randall Cobb to bounce back. I'm giving Cobb the slight edge in that.
See,
one.
That's why they brought you here, Corey, because there are so many else people in the industry saying that's a bad matchup against Seattle. But if Randall Cobb's going against Jeremy Lane in the slot, I don't think that's such a bad matchup.
I mean, it's the Green Bay Packers offense. They're going to get there. I understand Seattle defense is stout, but Green Bay,
but everybody Aaron Rodgers and that crew. Assumes that
yeah, they're going to get this. No, they're going to get this.
Yeah.
You're also lower on Kenny Britt than most people, Scott. If you have Kenny Britt listed as wide receiver 3, you have him listed as wide receiver 5. So you're not buying Kenny Britt.
I think it's all about Corey Coleman for DeShone Kizer.
And you're a little bit lower on Kevin White, Marvin Jones, and Dante Moncrief. Can't really blame you on any of those three, to be honest with you. Let me get to the tight end ranks and see what's going on here. Your big mover seems to be Evan Engram. You have Evan Engram right outside the tight end one play. Corey, you've kind of been sitting back on this Evan Engram thing a little bit and kind of letting people talk him up, and you're kind of just waiting for him to fail, I feel like.
Yeah, no, it's true. But, I mean, if people want to talk him up, go right ahead. Y'all can do that. I don't think it's enough for him as a rookie tight end this year to get to be involved. But you got some smart people around the New York Giants organization saying that it can happen this year. So that's why I've toned down. I've thrown my hands up to that. But you better believe it. Come week 3 or 4, if this guy don't have one catch, I'm gonna remind y'all of that.
I'll say this. But Evan Engram, you know, I think Scott might have him a little too high this week. I think I like Kobe Fleener a little bit. I mean, but you're talking 1 or 2 spots. I can't sit here and argue in a major way.
Especially if Odell doesn't play, I think he can be involved. So I take that into account. I take into account Dallas pass defense is very exploitable.
Right.
And Kobe Fleener is going against Minnesota.
I'm a little surprised, honestly, this guy, that you have Delaney Walker as low as you do. You have a number 8, and I know we're literally arguing bits and pieces here. Yeah. You have a number 8, but I think Delaney Walker against Oakland is just really one of the best matchups you could possibly have.
I don't dislike Delaney Walker.
I didn't say you dislike.
It's just like I like the guys ahead of him a little better.
Yeah, I like Delaney Walker a little bit better than
I'm not negative on him at all. I have number 8. He's a clear tight end 1.
Some guys you have a little bit farther down the list. You have George Kittle, number 23, and he's hurt. Why isn't he? Wasn't he below everybody? This dude's hurt.
I just moved him below everybody. I just haven't published it.
He's not.
Yeah. I'm doing that during the break.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, there you go. Yeah. No problem there. What do we expect Corey Hunter Henry this week?
I think Hunter Henry will get some work. But I think this week right here is a good week to start Antonio Gates. They're going to get him that touchdown record. How close are they to that? Well, that's something that our research staff can figure out for us. But, yeah, I think Hunter Henry's probably maybe a 4 for 44 or something like that. Not really high on Hunter Henry. I don't own him nowhere. It's kind of no reason to own him. I think, you know, the red zone work is unpredictable. You can get other guys to do that.
Would you rather start Hunter Henry or Evan Engram this week?
Gone. I'd rather saw Hunter Henry. At least I know Hunter Henry would get some touches.
Maybe. Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's kind of a toss-up. I know, Scott, you have it listed. You have Hunter Henry, as I said, at 15, Evan Engram at 13. So you'd rather start Engram than Henry this week?
Right now, knowing what I know about Beckham, yes. And regardless, it's a better matchup, I think, too.
The next touchdown catch for Antonio Gates will break his tie with Tony Gonzalez for the most touchdowns in NFL history. 1. So he's 1 touchdown away, Corey.
Wow. There you go right there. He is getting ready to...
He will get that on Monday night.
He will get that touchdown Monday night.
And then
he
may retire after that. Which would be great.
He waddle off the field.
Which would be great, obviously. For Hunter Henry owners. I'll say this. In a league, I own both Hunter Henry and Evan Engram in a league. And I think if Odell doesn't play, I'm going to start Engram over Henry. I think if Odell does play, I will start Henry over Engram.
I don't have that problem.
I know, because you don't own either of them anywhere.
Mm-mm, I don't have that problem. I think if Odell don't play, I got to put Alvin Morris in the lineup. He ain't going to score a single point.
I was asked a question for you, Scott. Hunter Henry or George Kittle?
Hunter Henry.
Okay. Well, I was just telling you. Someone asked me the question. I'm just telling you what I received. Also in front of me, I have the Kings defensive ranks. And
defense. Defense.
The defenses that you have.
I'm glad to hear that.
You have Seattle ranked as a top 5 defense this week.
Right.
That is significantly higher than most other experts do.
Yeah, they're going against the Seahawks. They're going against the Packers.
What you have to remember here is what we always look for. It's, now, of course, Aaron Rodgers is always going to score points.
Yeah.
But you have to look at sacks. You got to look at turnovers. And I really think, especially with the addition of Sheldon Richardson, the Seahawks are going to have sacks. And
they're going, you know, to turn, they're going to turn Aaron Rodgers over?
I think they can pick him off once or twice, too. It, you know, it's not ridiculous either.
That's optimism right there.
No, what it is that this defense right now, everybody's healthy. They added Richardson to a terrific front seven to the point where I don't think you bench him against anybody right now.
Scott, I can't start the Seahawks against Green Bay. That's like a recipe for disaster.
I don't think it's a recipe for disaster.
You're facing Aaron Rodgers, the best offense, one of the best offenses in the NFL.
But it's also one of the best defenses in the NFL. The offense is not going to win every battle. Of course, they're going to get his, but he could get sacked three or
Didn't
four
these two
times.
Teams play last season?
Can I be honest with you? That's what I was about to bring up. I lost the playoff matchup in week 14 last week because I was like, you know what? It's Seattle, one of the best defenses in the NFL against Green Bay.
They weren't by week 14. They had no Earl Thomas last year. They didn't have Sheldon Richardson.
Packers was beat up, too, in Week 14.
The Seahawks did not have Earl Thomas. I was telling them not to start them when they didn't have Earl Thomas.
And it's not just the Seahawks. The Seahawks and the Vikings who play New Orleans, he has a number 6. We'll talk more about defenses and streaming them when we come back here on the Moto Experts.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's the Roto Experts in the morning. And you're 5 minutes early. It's our friend and yours, Matt Bodega. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. It's a wonderful, wonderful day.
By the way, Don Burns played that song on the BFFs yesterday. And I was like, oh my God, it kind of sounds like Peter Gabriel a little bit.
That it does.
A little Peter Gabriel, Salisbury Hill.
That's a great song.
What was it? What was it, Don? It's Common? Oh, I thought it was Common. I'm like, who these guys? I go, what?
Well, he'd be sampling.
Right? Yeah, he'd be sampling, exactly. So I was very confused. And Scotty, I said to the BFFs, I'm like, oh, it's like he sounds like Peter Gabriel. I'm like, who the F is that? I'm like, and I'm like, you know, like
I heard you say that, yeah.
I'm like, Salisbury Hill. They're like, again, no idea what you're talking about. I'm like, and I like, Greg, you're so old. I'm like, oh my God.
Good for you.
So, you know, it's amazing. It's actually amazing. Okay, we were talking about defenses a while ago. Matt, I want to bring you into this because Scotty has Seattle ranked as his number 5 defense this week against Green Bay. He's got Minnesota ranked as his 6th ranked defense this week against New Orleans. Those are two of the top offenses in the NFL. I personally have been scarred from last year. I'd be a little hesitant to do either of these.
Hey, look, it's not ideal matchups, but I'm only drafting one defense, and I'm starting both of them. I mean, Seattle, like Scott said, they got Sheldon Richardson in the trade. The defense last year at the end of the season was not an elite defense. Going into the season, they are. Look, you got to go up against Aaron Rodgers. It's, you know, it's not ideal, but I'm not going to pick up another defense and roster two defenses. I'm going to roll. Hopefully, you know, they get an interception or two, some sacks as well. I think when you start getting too cute sometimes.
But is that really getting too cute, or is starting them getting too cute?
Okay, well,
I don't think starting is getting too cute. You say recipe for disaster. Yeah. I don't expect the Packers to score 40 points against this defense.
Here's the thing. What is the cost of adding another defense? What player are you going to drop?
Correct.
That's the correct answer.
To be honest with you, I don't own Seattle or Minnesota anywhere. So I personally can't answer that question. But if you do own Seattle or Minnesota, I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to, you do own them, right? You own Seattle somewhere, don't you?
Yeah, I got Seattle this weekend. The only defense I have, they're going to be
in. And you know, it's Minnesota too, and it's also the Giants. You know, I'm starting them. You could say what you want against Dallas. I feel like
Dallas defensive, as much as Green Bay and New Orleans.
Let me tell you something. That Giants defense is really, really good. It's like I'll have confidence in them. With Minnesota, they only allowed one 300-yard passing game the entire year last year. You also have to remember that New Orleans is without their starting left tackle, Terron Armstead. We talked about Dwayne Brown, you know, with the Texans the last hour. So that's some Drew Brees does not play as well on the road. So I'm confident. I'm confident in Minnesota. The Giants showed last year that they are the one team that could really hang with Dallas, and that is a that might be the best defense in football, period.
Hey, look, I wouldn't say I'm confident about any of these, and you quoted a great tweet early this morning from the Grant Barfield one.
Fantastic.
I saw that yesterday. Excellent job by you.
Thank you, sir.
And look, for me, if I have an elite defense, they're just staying in there every week. That's right. Why I paid up a little. In a 16-round draft, are you really going to draft two? I don't like drafting two defenses in a 20-round draft. And those are the ones I usually do.
Yeah, and we always talk about, like, fantasy group speak will say, don't bench your studs. Well, you know, it might apply to a few defenses, too.
And that used to be my mantra until it knocked me out of the playoffs.
Yeah, but you're talking about the Seahawks.
I'll say
the Packers,
this.
Right?
Well, Mr. Greg.
But you're also, I'm sorry there. You're talking about a Seahawks defense that was missing the best, arguably the best safety in football. Mm-hmm. Everybody talks about the Legion of Boom, okay? Sherman's a very good corner. He's the most vocal. Cam Chancellor's a thumper. But Earl Thomas is the glue that holds that secondary together.
He's the general.
When they were missing him last year, that defense was nowhere near the same in the secondary.
Look, if I'm going to the playoffs, maybe I pick up another defense to have for that. You know, when you got to get the final roster, you get no more pickups.
Right.
I'll do something like that.
What's also wild to me is you talked a moment ago about Pittsburgh's defense getting better. Against Cleveland, you don't even have them ranked as it's in the top 12 defense. You have them ranked number 15. Consensus-wise, they're number 3 overall.
Yeah, I just have defenses I like better.
We're going to rest the morning just back into this.